Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Years old, I am the youth coordinator here at our Nations campus here in Port Kennedy, which is an incredible privilege, and I love doing it. Me and my wife, Nicole, over there, sitting with the junior high students. We have the incredible honor of leading the youth here and stewarding the lives of your guys, teenagers, and helping them create a life lived in the faith and, you know, continue to cultivate patterns and behaviors and a faith that will leave them, you know, for the rest of their life, that will live with them for the rest of their lives. My parents are here as well. Whole family's here. Crystal, worship leading. That is my sister. If you didn't know, Chris and Mel are my parents. I don't know where they are.
You got the photo?
Up the back. Oh, yeah, photo. Just so you guys can see a visual. No. That's my family there.
Welcome to this morning, family swap.
That is my family up there from, I think it was Christmas last year or the Heartbeat Christmas party, something like that. Yeah. Awesome.
Excellent. Eilish, want to introduce yourself?
I will. Hello, everybody. I'm Eilish. I'm also 22 years old and I lead the kids ministry here. Here's my family. This is a picture of my family. I have the most amazing parents and my older sister who's on like dad's shoulder over there. And I'm a twin and my twin is standing next to me. That is my wonderful family. Yes, I'm the kids coordinator here at church. I'm also a special needs EA during the week. And then I'm also studying primary school teaching. I'm in my third year. So I have such a heart for the generation. I love kids. I love being able to, sow into them. And, yeah, they're the greatest. Is that enough about me?
What do we think? Is that enough?
No. Great.
Yeah. I want to do a secret that no one else knows that we're going to break. No. Can think about that later. Mike, a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Michael. My wife is down the front here, Laura, volunteer coordinator. That's us there. Pacey on this side and Atlee on the other side. Xanthi's in the middle next to me. So I'm 48, nearly. And we had our own business for a long time. We've just stopped that. It's new season now. We've been here for about 2.5 years, I think it is. Yeah, just never looked back. Always love coming to church. Yeah.
So we got to know Michael a little bit. I guess they started coming here, but they're big into the basketball scene in Rockingham as well. And also just a little thing, the cabinets, you know, the cafe we've got outside. So Mike and Laura actually assembled them for us. So that was how much they wanted to invest in their house. So well done. I know that he won't say that himself, so I'll pump him up for him. And I actually have a photo as well. So I'm just realised, I didn't know how old you were, Michael, so I'm actually the oldest on the panel this morning. I'm still 49. It starts with a 4. 50 this year in September. So just, that's a photo of our family. So there's Toby, Pastor Mel, Jonah. And so they're 17, 14, and I won't tell you Mel's age, and I'm 49. So she starts with a 5, I'll put it that way. So, cradle snatcher, I know. Mike, you have a microphone, Michael. So maybe we'll start with you. So have you got a funny moment maybe or a spectacular fail serving in the kids' ministry?
No, I don't actually. Yeah, it's... My time up in kids has been excellent.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I serve up there with great pleasure. I wouldn't want to do it any other way.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that I only do it every second week, I'd like to do it every week. Yeah. So, but that would mean double services because then I'd have to come in here to get the message. So.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for our kids. There's no spectacular fails in kids, so that's awesome. We're a safe church, if you want to make sure. So, and we have wise heads there. So, Eilish, how about yourself? Have you got a funny moment from kids?
Yeah, I do, and it's embarrassing for me. I just bought a new whiteboard table. So it's a table that the kids can, like, draw on. And it was, the kids came in and they were all really excited for this whiteboard table. And I was sitting around and we were all drawing on this whiteboard table. And I saw a parent come into the room. So I got up to greet the parent, went, had a chat with them and everything, then went back to the table. And I was sitting on this like fit bowl, you know, like the very big fit bowls. And as I went to sit down, a kid moved the bowl from me just as I went to sit down. So I fell on the floor and I kind of just froze. And all the kids came from around the table, looked at me, and I just froze and I was like, hi. I didn't know how to respond. And then, it was so embarrassing, they proceeded to help me get up. And all these little hands are just coming everywhere. I was like, oh my goodness. I got up and then I just pretended it didn't happen and we just went back to drawing around the table. And then I was just embarrassed and I was drawing around the table and I looked up and there was these group of girls standing around the table all laughing and they're all like, about me. I was like, oh no, that was pretty embarrassing.
At least they help you get up. That was like, we've trained them well. If they didn't like just stood there and pointed, it would have been worse. Conan, how about yourself?
Yeah, I feel like I've got a lot. And so I was talking to Pastor Mark and choosing which ones I should or shouldn't say. So I think the one that I'll share is that over my first few years of like leading in youth ministry, especially here on a Sunday, we love to play basketball out in the basketball court. You've probably seen the kids, probably gotten hit by a ball at some point if you've walked through there. And I gained a bit of a reputation of hitting kids with the basketball by accident. But I've worked hard to overcome that reputation. I've gotten better at shooting the basketball, so it's good.
There we go. And having boys that love basketball, I'm sure they'll help you get better and avoid the kids and hit the ring instead. And that wasn't the one that we talked about, so that's good. if you want to know what that was, come and speak to me later. All right. So Conan, you have the mic. So maybe just tell us a little bit about how you started coming to Nations Church, how old you were and some of the circumstances around that.
Yeah, I have been very lucky to grow up in church. Our parents are very faithful and we've always been a part of church. And so when I was in year 11, throughout high school, I was playing soccer. And so my games were on a Sunday and one of the church that we're at the time stopped doing afternoon services. And so I was starting to look around for an afternoon service at a church and started going along to some different churches in the area. And then a friend from our church who had been also looking for other churches invited Crystal to come to Nations at Myrie. And so she started going along, made some friends there. And so she invited me to come along as well. And I enjoyed it. I loved it. Built pretty good connection with some of the youth leaders there because I was only a youth student at the time. And then didn't even realize that Port Kennedy existed, and so after a couple months realized that Port Kennedy existed and realized that it was the better campus, and so I made the migration down and came along. And so I was 17 at the time, and so got plugged into church and plugged into youth pretty much straight away, and that was genuinely because of the youth leaders that really invested into me and, you know, made me feel so welcome and so at home. And it was incredible. And so after that I felt very at home here, and our family very quickly made this our church home. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can say that the John family are a huge part of this church. You've seen Conan's sister, Crystal, was leading this morning. Mel helped pull this together and does so much more. Chris is probably off serving somewhere. It's just amazing how much that family's impacted this church. And yes, you do well knowing that comment about Port Kennedy is the best campus. Now, oddly enough, and this is talking about the future, Conan came to church because we had a PM service just saying Port Kennedy, that it's coming at some point. If we want to see lives changed and this campus growing, a PM service will be part of it. So just getting you, and this should be something to celebrate, because how many Conans need that, future Conans need that 5 PM service. So don't shy away from it. Anyway. That's not anything to do with the panel. Eilish, so tell us a little bit about how you started coming to Nations Church.
Yeah, so I was 17 and I just finished, graduated from school. And I was just looking for a group of friends. Like, I wasn't looking for church. I wasn't looking for a youth group. I was just looking for community. And so I was Googling all these different churches. And it was also through COVID. So I was Googling these different churches. And Nations Church came up and a Connect group on Wednesday night. So I met on Zoom. for like, I don't know how many weeks. I met on Zoom on a Connect call, and then I was like, oh, I built solid friendships over Zoom. So I decided to come to youth on Friday night, and I got connected in at youth. And then, I went to youth till the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, I really felt God say, make Nations Church your campus, because I was still going between youth on a Friday night here and my old church in Mandurah on a Sunday. And I felt God say, move to Nations Church. So the next year, 18 years old, I moved by myself to this church and made it my church home. And I've been here ever since.
Yeah, wow. That's so good. It feels like longer than that, but the Zoom calls feel like, you know, forever ago. Don't want that again. So, Michael, a bit of a different question for you. So you consistently serve in kids ministry here at our campus, and you don't even have kids in the kids, do you? No. So what motivates you to do that?
When I was growing up, I didn't have church or kids ministry. So now that I've been up there, I can see that excellent foundation that they all get. And a while ago, our kids went to kids' church at a different church, but we didn't attend. And now seeing them grow up and, you know, how they've developed in their lives, it's amazing how well they've dealt with things in their life because they've had that foundation. And like Pacey now is serving with Conan in youth. Yeah. And now Atlee has just started serving in kids as well. So they've obviously felt that passion to help and put back into their own generation. Yeah, so and the other thing is, you know, like with a parent that's sitting out there, you know, you can feel quite well that they're upstairs with us normal people, you know, giving their kids, you know, a different, a more understandable, relatable message to them, I would say. Yeah, so, yeah, and I love going up there.
Yeah, it's actually really good. Seeing, like, even in our kids' team, seeing from, you know, you've got Eilish at 22 leading our kids' ministry here, but then you've got parents serving, you've got people who aren't even parents here, like, have parents in there serving. It's just such an investment into the next generation, and you can see it in our kids, you can see it in the next generation, that they're benefiting from more than just younger people sewing in, it's everyone sewing into them. So if you've ever thought about serving in kids, it's actually a really powerful thing to do. Let Mike be a really great example on that one. So Eilish, so have you got an example of how others have sewn from, others at Nations have sewn into you spiritually or in any other way?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this question and I was like, there's just been so many instances over the 5 years that I've been here where I've been sewn into spiritually. And as a young adult, like I struggle with, you know, just different things like my identity, like what am I doing with my life, like adult questions, you know, like just life, you know. And it's been so great to have Nations Church as a safe place where I can come and I can see my spiritual mothers and fathers, my spiritual grandparents, and ask them questions and get help from them. I know that I come into Nations Church and it's a safe place for me where I can get called higher, where I can, you know, I had a chat with one of my mentors and she actually challenged me. First off, I didn't like what she said to me and I was like, oh, I really don't like that. But then I went away and I was like, oh, okay, she is wise. I understand why she's one of my mentors. You know, yeah, so I feel like that's why.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But this is true, right? This is a healthy church and environment where we should challenge each other, because if we only keep going from place to place where we feel like we're getting what we want and we don't have to be challenged or we don't have to bring anything, as long as it's done in love, it's actually a place where you grow. If you just keep aligning yourselves with people that just think exactly how you do, then you're never going to grow. That's awesome, Eilish, that you spoke into that. So, Conan, same sort of question. So, have you got any examples of how others at Nations have sown into you spiritually?
Yeah, one of the reasons why I am so passionate about youth is because when I was a teenager, it was my youth pastor that invested into me. And he not even in just the ways that you'd expect, like, you know, reading the Bible, telling me to do the right thing and not sin and that sort of stuff. He did that. But he also took me out and, like, played soccer with me. He invited me over to play the PlayStation with me. Like, he bridged that gap between being a friend and being a parent and actually set an example of what it looks like to be a young man who actually lives out the values that they speak about on the stage at church. And that was important for me. And, you know, although circumstances changed and, you know, he wasn't a part of my life for a big portion of it, he's now come back into my life. And, you know, I feel super proud to be able to stand and be like, you know, because of what you've sown into me, this is the ministry that, you know, is happening. You know, this youth ministry is not just mine. It's the fruit of everyone that's poured into my life. And I feel like for me, I want to do that for the next generation. I don't know how many, like Pastor Mark said, how many future pastors, future teachers, future politicians are in our youth ministry that are going to be blessed by what, you know, I have to offer. And it might not feel like much to me, but I know that just those moments of just hanging out with my youth pastor meant heaps to me. And so as little as it might seem to me and to our youth team, like we all have a heart to see the next generation grow, see our teenagers invested in and start to live out, you know, the faith that they already know in their head, but actually put it into practice as well.
That's so good. And it's something that you don't always see the fruit of it immediately, right? You may not see it there and then, but it actually does change their future. Like when you invest time, it could have been an hour just spending time or a catch up or anything like that. You never know what's going on in their lives and how that has changed. And I mean, I think of it from a perspective. I've got two teenage boys as well, 14 and 17. Toby's here, Jonah's serving. They've grown up in the house. Like they before we were Nations, we were Mid Coast Church. Toby's 17. He grew up being part of church. And I can just think back, so many people have invested into them as people. It's not just us as parents. Yes, ultimately, buck stops with us as parents, but the church family, the kids teams, the kids leaders, the youth leaders, Conan, Jaquan, even now what's happening with Jonah, he's mentoring him through a project that he's doing at school and just catch ups. It's actually investing in that next generation. It makes a huge difference. And I'm thinking about this. I've seen so many things where pastors' kids haven't had that, or they've been left to their own devices and it hasn't been a healthy thing, and they leave the church, they leave God. But I've just had that, I don't know, it's like this assurance that what we do in our kids and what we do in our youth actually makes a difference in our young people's lives. So just as a thank you from a parent to you guys and to all those that have served, it's really makes a huge difference. So Conan, we will stay with you. We're just going back and forwards like ping pong. Over the years, you have both attended youth ministry and served in youth as a volunteer, and now you are coordinating, leading our youth ministry in a staff capacity. What has motivated you to do that?
I think my biggest motivation is, like I said, seeing the fruit in my life of those that have done it for me. I was just thinking, like, it's a bit of a weird position that I've been in is because I was kind of doing the whole journey with Crystal, my sister. And so we were youth students together, and then she was my youth leader, and then we led together, and now I'm kind of her boss at youth, and so it's pretty cool. But even, like, having family members that are, like, grounded in the faith and seeing other people's lives transformed, like, it's so worth it to continue to sow and to lead in youth ministry. And even, like, for me, I get like a proud parent moment every time I see a youth student get baptized here on a Sunday. And then when Sathya got baptized, I was like over the moon, on the edge of tears. And those are moments that, you know, are so much sweeter when you've been a part of their journey and you've been a part of seeing them, you know, come up with Christ, go through hard times, go through the valleys, and then all of a sudden come out the other side with a faith that is unshakable. And that's not something that I or any other leader could ever produce except for just leading them to the Lord and allowing the Lord to do that work.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Eilish, same sort of question. So what motivates you? You know, you're on staff as well as our kids ministry leader, as well as working elsewhere as well. But what motivates you to do, you know, to do that?
I've always had like such a heart for the next generation. And I just, yeah, I've always just loved, ever since I remember being in kindy, I've always wanted to be a teacher. Like I've always wanted to work with kids. And I just love kids. And I just am constantly reminded of what God says in the Bible. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I constantly come back to this. Like, we can read in the Bible, God moves so powerfully through Abraham. And I read and I'm like, wow, God moves so powerfully through him. But he didn't stop there. He moved through Isaac. And then he moved powerfully through Isaac. And then he didn't stop there. He actually chose to move powerfully through Jacob as well. And I just think, like, if God wants to move powerfully through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, well, then I should have a heart of for the Abrahams and for the Isaacs. And I should definitely have the heart for the Jacobs as well. Because God is a generationally God. Generationally minded God, but he also makes covenants with the Abrahams that he wants to move through the Isaacs and move through the Jacobs. And I just want to be able to steward well what God is doing in those generations. So yeah,
so good. And I was just thinking, the two of you have come onto staff, but who knows that working for a church isn't just any job, right? It's and like I've done that transition as well. We do ask a lot of our staff. But it's actually putting people on, it's recognizing what God's already doing in their lives in certain areas. And it's kind of like almost just making it official. It's not a job. It's not just a normal rock up job. It can never be. Otherwise, the heart behind why it happens, it loses its meaning. So I just, you know, you guys, well done making that transition, I think, from serving to actually being on staff. You've never lost focus of what it actually means to still serve in God's house, even if you're on staff for it. Michael, slightly different question. So what challenges have you overcome to serve in kids ministry?
It was a personal challenge because I've only just been at church for 2.5 years. So it was like, I don't know enough. I haven't done enough. You know, that was my challenge. And so I first served in people's team and then which was great for me, but then I was like, I feel something missing, and I've always had that kid feel, like, to serve for kids, you know. Everybody told me I was going to be a teacher, but I could never be a teacher. But I like being upstairs, so I started serving, and I've had Eilish train me, you know, even though I'm the older generation. But Eilish is older than me in her wisdom to keep me going along. So that, yeah, so that was my challenge. Eilish constantly gets me out of my comfort zone and challenges me. So yeah, it's great to have the younger generation challenging the older generation.
And this is. And when I step back and think about it, the intergenerational interactions, this is really important because a church, especially in a church, it can tend to go one way or the other. It can be all about a certain demographic, a certain age group, and then you don't intentionally look at the others. And I think here we're actually, yes, we're celebrating our next generation Sunday, but we also celebrate the middle generation and the older generation. Like, there are all the generations coming together, and I think if we come at it from a perspective of getting around and learning off what the other generation has to offer rather than a us versus them mentality, it actually helps foster so much learning and growth and just harmony. You know, this is God's community. And if we can't have it here, how are we ever going to have it out there, right? How are we going to impact our grandkids or our kids if we can't even get along with those in our church? So hear you speaking about that, Michael, is actually really, really good. So I'm going to stay with you on that one. So, or the next point, which is sharing a story around how you have benefited from being a part of this church community.
There's been many benefits. But one week, Laura and I had our own business for like 17 years, and we had a bit of an issue last year. All the details, you know, we'll leave, but the fact that we had this grounded foundation in the church now and our Connect group and so forth, it helped us see that there's nothing we can actually do and keep pushing through to try and solve this problem. We just had to wait and give it to God and say, you know, you let us know what we need to do and how it's going to come, and you'll sort it out for us. I mean, there's still certain things we have to do, but But it's not, it's out of our hands. And the worry of that, because it is monetary based and everybody worries about money, but we don't worry and stress about it so much anymore. It doesn't take the worry out of it, but like we get an email and say, oh, this has come up, and I'll be like, oh, man. And then we just think, no, it's fine. God's got this. We don't worry about it so much. Yeah, and just this, our family is just all more connected since, you know, coming to church, you know. And like, it's just amazing. It's like something switched, you know. It's, yeah, just amazing. Yeah.
And you've seen that, like, you know, seeing that. I remember even just seeing Pacey getting baptized the other few months ago. Like, it's just seeing that it actually matters. As parents in the room, it matters. Your relationship with God and how you're letting him lead you has an impact on your family and young adults, how you let God, if your parents aren't saved or not in this church, how you let God lead you will be a shining light and example to your parents. And we see it. We actually really do see this happen where the generations will actually, because of who they are and what God's doing, they will lead their families to Christ. So really well done, Michael, on how you guys lead. And well done on Pacey and Atlee and the family as well. Amazing. Eilish, so why is it important to you, for you personally, to be planted in church long term? And this is from your 22-year-old young adult perspective.
Great. From my 22 young adult perspective, this is what I think. It's so important for me to be planted in the church because, you know, I'm only fresh into being 22 and I'm, you know, still a very young adult. There's so many questions about what I'm going to do with my life. What am I, you know, questions about my identity, all these different things that I'm like, you know, just questions of the world. And I don't know, just so many different things as a fresh young adult. Not really, but kind of. Still telling myself.
Keep telling yourself that. That's fine.
I'm a fresh young adult. and it's so important for me because, I want to be in these times of life. I find that the decisions that I make now are stepping stones towards the rest of my life. So I want to be intentional about what I'm doing now as a young adult because I feel like it's going to set me up for my 30s and my 40s and my 50s and whatnot. So, I just want to be intentional about making a decision. What am I doing every single Sunday morning? What am I doing on campus prayer? You know, what am I doing? Where am I serving? You know, like these decisions are quite important for me. And in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians, I've been reading it recently, it's talking about being transformed into Christ, being transformed to look like Christ. And in order to do that, I actually need to be planted in the church. I need to be planted long-term in the church. I need to, you know, come to church every single Sunday. I need to come to campus prayer. I need to put myself in a position to go to connect groups. You know, I need to put myself in those things because I just feel like it's going to bless me long-term when I make these decisions now. So, yeah.
Cool. I might shoot back to Mike on this one, and I'm going to finish off with you, Conan, I think. So, Mike, why is it important for you and your family to be planted in church long term?
Because, like I said, I didn't have a church background, so I can see this, the family, it takes a village to raise a family sort of idea. So I can see that what goodness comes out of that, you know. So we love being in here in our family, and I used to only want to come, you know, once every now and then, and now I'm thinking, you know, do I serve every week, you know? So that's a big change for me. So, and that means, you know, that's half my Sunday, and I'm like, oh, but then every Sunday I come in and we walk out and it's like, that was exactly what we needed to hear. So, yeah.
It's actually a really good perspective because so many people think with church and with God, it's what am I having to give up to do this? But it's like, what are you gaining from doing this? You look at Michael's example with his family. What have they as a family gained over the last 2.5-3 years? And it's priceless. Half a Sunday, is it worth it? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just challenge you, think about like that. If you're finding Sunday mornings a drag, just actually come at it from a different mindset. What can you gain in your life that God wants to do in your life that you're only going to find if you put him first. I think that's the way to approach it rather than what you're losing. All right, so Conan, this is the last question. We'll finish up with you here. So you and your lovely wife, Nicole, who's in the front row there, amazing young couple, are recently married, and I just saw 6 months, was it?
Wow. 6 months on Friday.
Don't you love it when you celebrate 6-monthly anniversaries? Like, when you... Dan, would you know what's he know? The years is hard enough when it gets up there. But yeah, so why is it important to you personally to be planted in a church long term?
When I think long term, I'm thinking of, 10 years down the track, 20 years down the track, when we aren't counting months. But I think for us personally, like we've seen the benefit of having such a big family. You know, I personally, like our family, the Johns, we don't have any blood relatives here in WA. Nicole's family doesn't have any blood relatives here in WA. And so going through the whole engagement and marriage season, usually that's a time where your family rallies around you and gets involved. And we didn't have that necessarily, but the church, you guys, so many of you prayed for us, blessed us by offering to help, blessing us financially. Like that is, to me, what it looks like to be part of a family. And especially being married, I feel this on my heart for every space, is that when you see a gap, or you see something that, you'd like to see grow, or something that, you can see that an area that you desire for it to be different, it's actually God giving you the eyes to see it so that you can be the solution in that area, so that God can use you in that area. And I've just seen here at Port Kennedy how our young adults have begin to really grow as, myself and other young adults, Eilish, Crystal, have decided to actually invest in that area. And now, half this room I can see is young adults, which is praise God, because it wasn't always like that. And for me and Nicole, we're in a very unique season right now where, I feel like for us, we're kind of blazing a trail of what it looks like to be strong, young, married couple, a strong young married couple within the church. And I was blessed by having, Pastor Matt and Sydney invest into our lives and go through that marriage season with us, and being that just one step ahead of us. We had mentors that were quite a few steps ahead of us, speaking into us as well, speaking from experience, but also having that couple just ahead of us, really investing into us. And for me, right now, there's a lot of young adults and they're going to start getting into relationships, start thinking about marriage. And whilst Nicole and I are only just getting into that part of our lives, I feel like it's such a blessing, but also it's such a weight to know that, there are going to be people that are going to be looking at our lives, looking at what we do and looking at the example that we set of what strong marriage couples look like when they just get married. I feel like that is, for me, why it's so important to be invested in the church long term, is because there are eyes looking at you. And that might sound scary, but for every person in this room, whether you're a junior high student, whether you're a young adult, whether you've been in church your whole life, there are eyes looking on at you that you don't realize. Nicole and I have felt the weight of this recently, hearing so many of our children in the church, 7, 8 years old, looking at our relationship and saying how much they look up to me, Nicole. That's something that we would never have the opportunity to do if we weren't implanted in church, set that example. But also, we weren't even aware of that. But now that we are, we're like, we want to set such a good example. We want to run hard after Christ so the next generation has an example to follow. And that goes for every single one of us in the church to continue to pursue God, to live a life after Jesus, because there is a generation coming after you that needs strong examples, needs strong mothers and fathers in the faith, older brothers and sisters in the faith. And you are that. God has chosen you and sent you to this campus to be that example to the next generation. And that's why I think it's so important.
So good, so good. What an awesome way to finish our panel this morning. So why don't we give a hand for our three panelists as they leave the stage.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.